You're listening to a Wheeler Centre podcast. The following event was recorded on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. We acknowledge and pay our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and their elders past and present as the custodians of the world's oldest living culture. In this episode, we hear from beloved Chinese-Australian composers Minty Menwong and Sui Chen as they explore their new musical partnership, Origin of You, with host Eugenia Lim.
Hi everyone, my name's Eugenia Lim and I'll be hosting tonight. Let us begin with an introduction. So I wanted to intro Becky Sui Chen, who's a Chinese-Malaysian-Australian artist, musician and creative producer working across audio, visual and interactive mediums. Through her music and performances as Sui Chen, loss is explored on a personal and societal level against the backdrop of contemporary tech-driven life. Becky's just returned from performing at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, and I've been loving listening to your amazing new track, Sleepless, which is so beautiful. If you haven't listened to it yet, jump on the internet and listen to that. But please join me in welcoming Becky. Thank you. I want you to clap a lot tonight. And I would love to introduce Minty Menwong, who is a Chinese-Australian composer and world-renowned guzheng performer. I believe you've been playing it since the age of 7, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And this traditional training is fused with lots of Western genres, so we're working through experimental jazz, classical pop and improv. And you've also won a bunch of awards. There's like so many, I was looking at the website, including Best Musician, which is pretty cool, at Music Victoria. And you're much sought after as a performer. So I can see you've collaborated with Gorillaz, Regurgitator, Deborah Cheatham, Australian Art Orchestra, the MSO, and now, of course, Becky. So please welcome Minty.
I'm improving.
She worked her way up.
So. Yeah, well, exactly. You've got to work your way up to Becky.
Yeah, totally.
This is the peak. Because we're talking about Origin of You, I wanted to go to the origin story of your collaboration. Can you talk about, the genesis of this collaboration, how you first met? I think you were set up by Joe from Music in Exile. Tell us a bit about that early start.
You or me? You. Me. All right. Okay, so I was already working with this label called Music in Exile, and they're a really amazing label, not-for-profit, and the work is more about to help migrant and people who doesn't actually, mainly a lot of people who doesn't have a language skill to promote their music or record music or just become to continue to work as musician in Australia after they moved here. A lot of them already professional musician in their own country, but then when they migrate here, because everything is so different, they suddenly couldn't do music anymore. So this label was funded with that in mind to help those people who, the old musicians lost their power here to get back into music. So, they approached me and I started working with them. And one fun thing they do is they actually help, they introduce local musicians to, they pair the musicians together. So I think it's a really very great idea because through this, I actually found some of my most important collaborations, such as with Becky. And Joe actually just came to me and asked do you want to do a performance at M Pavilion, and I'll allow you to work with local musician, and I think you should work with Becky, and you'll love her. And I was like, okay, sure. Yeah. And then the same thing was for Becca.
I got an email that was like, I don't know, like, hey, I haven't seen you for a while, but I got this thing programming. Do you want to do it with this artist, Mindy Mengwang? Here's a link to her stuff.
Yeah, you don't know her.
But I need to know, like, tomorrow. So just tell me. And also here's, like, just get back to me. And, you know. And then I was like, Google Mindy. And I'm like, yeah, that seems cool.
We all did a bit of Googling.
And I was like, yeah, I mean, why not, like, committed to a performance before having even met each other?
Which is quite unusual, because usually you actually want to at least to see this artist performing live, and then you might have already talked to them, and because you don't know what's going to happen, like, because sometimes it's like speed dating, like, sometimes it doesn't work out, right? Like, so we all came together with great faith, almost, like, it has to work out.
I think, I guess knowing both of us knowing Joe, obviously there was already
connection
trust there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought that he would have put us together if he didn't really believe it was going to work. So there was that kind of pre-existing thing. And then I think maybe it speaks to just the open-mindedness of Mindy and I as musicians. And it speaks to a lot of things, because I feel like, you know, had that happened at an earlier stage of a career or like someone's practice where their confidence or self-esteem was wrapped up in something else, and maybe they'd be a bit more like not as confident to feel like they could make that work. But I think we've both been musicians for such a long time that it's always an exciting opportunity to get to do something with a, you know, an immediate you know, output. Like, there was an event, and to see if it works or not, like, and you'll find out very quickly if it works or not. Like, so rather than like these, you know, sometimes people write to you, especially me as a vocalist, hey, can you sing on this track? This used to happen, and I try it out, and then like they just ghost me, and I'm like, what the hell, I did this cool vocal, and you know, or something like, this is not what I do now. But that's another example of how things can be managed really poorly. But this is obviously, we had a lot of trust in Joe, and also that there was an event that to base it around. So I think it was probably about a week before we actually got together, and it was at that meeting we connected, realized that we both had experienced a loss of a parent in, you know, within a span of a few years, and that was top of mind still for us, so that we went to a nearby cafe to my studio, and we just talked for a couple of hours, then went back to the studio, and Mindy was like, well, let's just turn that conversation into music and pick out some of the themes and do that. And what you hear on the record is only like the second iteration of that, really. Like, we did demos that day in my studio. I just set everything up to record. And that was those were the pieces, did a few random shows. And then we just went in, I think 2021, we recorded it, and then it came out, a few years ago.
Yeah. A very successful blind date.
Yeah. I think the most important thing is, like, you know, when we start chatting, you know, as one thing Becky was saying, like, first we all in a very similar stage of life, and I experienced a very similar event in recent, like, life. And then one of the important things we actually find, we have same value. And that's, I think that's the base of, you know, immediately we all knew that's beyond a collaboration, and that we would be friends. And so that helps. Like, we just want to be together. So it's like, okay, we'll definitely keep this, instead of just doing one performance and go separate ways, we want to stick together. So it's like, okay, we have to, like, we have a project now, and it's going to keep going, so we can see each other, play together all the time.
So a lot happened over the course of the time. So you met and then pretty much started jamming and recording demos. And then the album came out a couple of years later with quite a lot of personal change and loss, and also, I guess, global change, societal change with the pandemic as well. How did it feel to revisit, I guess, these raw kind of early songs and recordings after such a passage of time? Like, what did that time bring?
Well, I feel like it's almost feel like it's more relevant. And we didn't know, like, we were just, the first layer of creations is just all about, like, get in touch with our conversation, inner feeling about life, certain event in life, and how we you know, we were actually started talking about it, the experience of lose parents or childhood. So very personal feelings in those things. But then a lot of our feeling, there actually is, I think a lot of people actually experience that. When we talk about it, we were thinking about it like everyone else, but actually similar stuff happens to everyone, especially in the last couple of years. People have a deeper feeling of those, you know, like actually experience a lot, and they're more connected with those feelings, so it feels more relevant.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think for me, I had another, obviously we both had lots of personal change, and I had another big loss in that time as well. But this project for me felt like a safe space to re-enter like a public music space again, because it was with, I had the emotional support of another person rather than going just back to my solo project and navigating being a band leader and all that kind of stuff. I felt a bit more held in the collaboration with Mindy. Mm. Mindy was like, understood the experience that I'd had I'm referring to like having my first son pass away. So that was in the intervening years, but this music was a very gentle re-entry, and also there's so much improvisation in and around our work that there's always room for me to express the current feeling I'm having. And to be honest, that's like me every gig. Like, I've always been this artist fighting against, resisting the pressures of the music industry, which is always like, you know, like pop song stuff, and always not really ever fitting in. And sometimes, and it's the same as like assimilation, really. Like, it's as in assimilating, it's a continuation of that mindset of assimilating into a dominant culture. And so I think Mindy and my collaboration was the first time that I was like celebrating my ancestral cultural heritage in this quiet way, just by merely collaborating with someone, having this bilingual aspect to our project and being able to have space in the music to actually talk about who I am. Like, let's talk about the pronunciation of my name, for one, which I had anglicized for many years to make it easier for other people to say. So these kinds of things only possible in this collaboration, which was a really big thing for me, but maybe for Mindy, I don't know if it, like Mindy'd been collaborating in with lots of different artists from different cultural backgrounds for like a longer time. So, but for me, I'd always, you know, been still in, been in that kind of like Western rock band kind of model of the music industry, I think. And then following that, like the dance music industry, which has its own kind of things that, you know, it still feels a bit more experimental in that space. But like, so it was really like liberating on all levels for me to come into this project again after all those years. And particularly after the pandemic, which kind of was like a time, I think, where people could really sit with longer form music. And it's not a new thing to do longer durational pieces of music, but you're really fighting in a really like a system, you know, like all the kind of ways you have the tools at hand you have to promote your music, really try, you know, like the 4-second drop-off rate on social media platforms. It really like challenges people to sit with a longer form thing. So I think working with Mindy in this way really interested me on so many levels, because I was like, oh. And Mindy was really encouraging to also not over-edit or over-produce the early demos, which I love that too, because I was like, yes, that suits me.
Easy option.
Less work for me. Like,
yeah. So you kept the expansiveness of the tracks.
Yeah. That's so good. And I think actually, like, I think it's such a good thing. I think so many people have so much skill and talent, but they don't trust their first expression of it. They question it and try and make it more appealing or something. But I think it's a risk of it stepping further away from the truth of what they were trying to say if you continue to do that. Not for all forms of work at all. I just mean sometimes, like with music, it's best to just let it be what it was. Yeah.
I think this project, like, actually, you know, we all have, we gain different things. Like, for me, I think the most important thing is the connection. Because as a migrant come here, things change for me dramatically. Well, not dramatically when I think about it's been years, but it feels like it actually fast. And now when I think about it, when I first land here, it's very different because I used to feel like I'm not connected. I'm really lonely. And this is the country I choose to give a go. And because I don't know, actually. I have to say, when I first came here as a tourist, I didn't like it here at all. And then when I had an idea, I was like, maybe I'll try to stay there and see what's going on. And I really hate it. But I don't know, like then a couple of years later, I came back. I was like, okay, I want to give a go. And then, but now I just feel like really connected. Like I think, people like Becky is very important. They're the one to help me to grow, root into this society, and I feel like actually this land. And the most important thing for me is the sisterhood that we formed over this project, and that's my comfort zone. Like and be able to just be there for her, and that's important for me as well. Like so I'm not alone here. And there's meaningful, very deep connection there. Yeah. It's more than music, more important in a way.
It's like family.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
That, I guess, that idea of being, a migrant here, coming here versus being born here, and what it feels like to be a diasporic person sort of between homelands. Can you talk a bit about, those similarities and differences for you, like how you come together through the project and those different experiences, what that brings to your collaboration as well?
I think one thing, just like talk musically, actually, our experience, being a migrant, of course, I bring something doesn't belong here to here. But my music intention is to make it grow and make it have a new form here. So meeting people and work together, it's like giving just plant another seed into this different environment and see how it grows. So the instrument I'm playing, called guzheng, it's an ancient Chinese harp. It has 2,500 years of history. It almost just played in a traditional way in China. And I always feel like this instrument shouldn't be limited. Like piano, people play classical piano or piano concerto, but they can also play pop music, experimental music, anything, and country music. So I was just thinking why the instrument guzheng has to be limited. So when I came here, I think deep in my heart, I want to make change with the instrument, but without forgetting of where it come from and all the tradition. So I think that's the mentality of a migrant musician like me. And then I meet Becky, and I feel like Becky's music, even though it's grown a lot on Western music, but the culture tradition makes it very easy to connect with what I have. I don't understand that. It's kind of I don't know why, actually. It just feels when you talk about something, she get it. When you make music, usually you don't talk. I think the secondary is music discussion. First is you have to really have this in the same channel. So I think maybe because Becky's experience and heritage, that channel is on.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wonder about that too. I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about why, because I've never fully felt. I've always been drawn to music that doesn't sound like music that's in the mainstream. And it used to be I always felt like I never kind of got on the same page that everyone else was. I totally had the, 90s fan experience and went to like big day out festivals and totally got on board with that. But I was always seeking music from around the edges that felt a bit more truer to human feeling. So in that sense, I was always drawn to like, I don't know, I was really big into documentaries and when there was any kind of music from different traditional cultural groups or stuff like that. So, but I wonder about what Mindy's saying in terms of, you know, music and its imprinting over generations and our brains and how we kind of develop and whether that has a role, because when I connect back to music from my mum's culture or and my mum was from Sarawak and it's like a different, you know, it's a part of Malaysia now, but it wasn't always. So it has its own many different Indigenous cultural groups there and different music from those spaces. And my dad's side is like Celtic, and these are both very different musical influences. But I feel like traditional music certainly must kind of find its way out of, you know, if it's like, it's the same as trauma, intergenerational trauma, all this kind of stuff. If you're really open, I feel like, yeah, you can kind of hear other things. And working with you, though, I kind of, I felt comfortable that I could do anything without any kind of judgment or without someone having an expectation of me doing something. And I think I've worked as like predominantly, I guess, a songwriter, producer, vocalist, and I play instruments. Like I play bit of this, bit of that, but I'm not like a trained instrumentalist on any one kind of thing, except for the trumpet, actually. But I don't really? Usually with that. Yeah, I don't. It's finding its way back, but. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I have such scarring experiences of being made to play The Last Post when I was 14 years old, which is not meant to be played on a trumpet. So naturally, it didn't go that well in front of the school. Anyway, the point is, that's like still working through trauma. That.
Yeah, that's like a quite Asian, almost like a, you know, I feel like that's it. I can share that feeling because I had a many similar experience, like a, not on trumpet, but like
forced to perform.
Something.
Like you're the best trumpet. You play this. Like, do I have to stand in front of the school and play? Can I go? And so that. But then in the current, I play with a bunch of musicians who are like way more like skilled and traditionally trained than I am at the moment, and that's actually where. I've found another space for the trumpet to creep back in. But anyway, that's a separate...
Next album, maybe.
Next album, trumpet.
But I think it's just like coming with no expectation, no judgment. And I think often, I mean, it doesn't feel like I want to dominate this conversation talking about like female representation or in the music industry or whatnot. But I guess there's still that kind of like within me, that kind of like... female vocalist, you know, you do this role, you don't do that role, you don't play the producer role, you don't do the music direction role, you know, there's still that within me. But working with Mindy was the first time that I felt really on equal, like equal, you know, like and there's no other, and I feel that in other collaborations, but I feel like it's really difficult to get away from people's expectation of what they want you to do. And because I do predominantly bring melody and structure and voice and stuff. Yeah, I feel like that's almost just this unspoken expectation and sometimes. So I have felt that in the past, but I felt very free of that. And I guess that's how one of the songs, I don't know, I think I may have tricked Mindy into singing. I think I tricked you. I think
you
I said
you
I'll
just
sing.
Yes, you did.
I said I'll sing with you, and I just didn't sing. And then and then she was singing. I may have even done it live, yeah. And then she was just
and like, I was just like, oh, you should just do it by yourself. And it's good like this. I was like, okay. Yeah. At the beginning, I was like, okay.
She really, really, like, it was really, like, not, I think. But now she's like, yeah. I need this kind of delay on my, yeah, thank you, Sandra. Please. Oh, no.
I know what I'm doing.
Like, it's like I've seen this transformation over the last year or even, like, 6 months where it was, like, this timid, like, you know. And now she's like.
Yeah. I know what I'm doing.
You're a vocalist as well. That's so great.
Trained by Becky.
So expect a lot of, you know, strange sounds.
Yeah. I love it because it's quite a lot to overcome the, like, one's own voice.
Yeah, because it's like you know, instrumentalist, you just don't, unless you have already been training on your voice, which some of the instrumentalists they do, but otherwise you'd be like, using voice in public is a very scary thing. Like, even talking, you know, like a couple of years ago, I would find this situation is definitely the worst scenario I could be in. Why do I have to talk to people? And then why, like on the stage when the light shining on my face and I have to make sense.
Like this?
Yeah, like this. But now it's better. Yeah, so it's all
and
like,
now
you know,
it's better.
It's come with the aging.
Yeah, you just roll with it. That's yeah. So good. I would love to talk about some of the tracks that we yeah. will hear later on. I don't know if people have seen the wonderful music video clip for Watch My Mum Dance,
oh,
which
yeah.
stars
you
your real life mum,
see that.
Mindy. It's pretty wonderful. Doing
Go on YouTube and type our name and I'll Watch My Mum Dance, that track.
And she kind of dances through Carlton Gardens
yeah.
and kind of there's so much yeah. joy.
My mum was like visiting. I was like, oh, come on, mum. I have a good thing for you. And it's really fun. And then my mum was like, oh, yeah, what? I say, you know what? Like, I want to, you know, I want to make a music. And then I feel like I just needed some, like, a film of you dancing. My mum was like, what? And I was like, don't worry about that. It's just me and then, you know, another Chinese who's going to be on camera, like, speaks Mandarin. Like, don't worry about that. We're just going to have a fun day. And, you know, you have just be yourself. And then we got to the place. My mum, like, actually, Carlton Garden, in the morning, they have, like, a group of predominantly Chinese doing the morning exercise dance, just like in China. And then so my mum goes there. I was like, okay, let's shoot some of this, shoot some of that. And some people was like, get suspicious. What are you guys doing? I was like, I'm just shooting my mum. Actually, I shoot a lot of people. and then I got my mom, like, her just walk through the gardens and all the kind of significant places. Oh, tourists to Victoria should have used that piece of music because it's all, like, significant spot in Melbourne. And then she just do this, like, a dance that in my memory, how she dance, which is, it's fun. And it also, I can't say, like, well, I think it's sometime it can look a bit silly, but that's exactly what I want. So I was like, let's do this. So she did it. And she, the first 5 or 10 minutes, she was a bit shy, but she totally loved it. She nailed yeah. it. You should really watch that video.
She's a superstar. She yeah. does really well.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the, I think it stems from maybe childhood memory or like back
yeah,
in
yeah.
China.
We made that track just because we're talking about, like, you know, childhood. And I was telling Becky, like, when I was born, like, it's 80s in China, like, we just stepped out from, like, you know, starvation, Cultural Revolution, and just people start getting, you know, stable life supply, but not rich. Like, and my mom was saying, like, you know, back then they had, just having money is not enough. You have to have this ticket to, together with money, you can purchase things. So you have an allowance ticket. So every month you have, like, a, you know, how many kilo of water per person. As a family, you really rational. Okay, we can only have one meat. Dinner or this, like, per month. And same with milk. So my mom was telling me when I was born that milk was, like, really hard to find for me. And then, but I think everything just changed really fast around that time. So late 80s, my father, well, I don't know where he got it from, but it's very unusual. He had a you know, cassette music, like, player. And then they got this, like, well, I don't even know where they got it from. It's really unusual. There's no shops selling that because it's almost impossible to get that allowance ticket to get a, you know, a, what you call a stereo player, right? And he got that, and then immediately our place became the public dance house. And everyone want to come have a look at this amazing thing that you put this box in and plays music, and they can listen to it again and again and again. And then I swear they have less than 10 cassettes, and then they just rotate, like, all the time. And then everyone just dance. And they don't know how to dance, right? Like, they haven't even seen it on TV or something. So they all look very silly. Like, it's nonstop for months. So they were really happy, though. But I was like, oh, God, you know. That was like a childhood trauma. But I remember how happy they were. And then you know, I was telling Becky all about this. And all the silly stuff.
I guess that's like kind of why I felt like it was appropriate to have Mindy like singing in that song for the first time, using her voice to reflect like the first
dance.
Time. Yeah, dance. Because then it's not referencing anything like that you've done before. Mm. It's true expression. It's true coming from somewhere within you. Whereas I think, the recording I think was really close to when you were first using your voice like that.
Yes,
so I think on the recording it's like now, you know, now you hear her and she sounds
now
like...
Now I improved.
But it's, that, it's got that like naivety and there's something really beautiful about, especially about like, you know, hearing the story of Mindy being able to watch people, including her parents, kind of dancing, using their bodies in a way that they'd not learned how to do, you know. That
yeah,
I think,
but she was so happy.
Special.
So, you know, I think the essence is that I remember she actually delivered the happiness I remembered from like the long time ago. And then so I was like, wow, that's exactly the same feeling. So I guess like she should dance more. She always feel that happy when she's dancing.
Did she love the clip?
Yeah, she loved it. Yeah.
Moment of fame.
Yeah.
The track is also dedicated to your mum.
Yeah.
And I guess I was interested in this idea of legacy and like music maybe being a bridge to the afterlife or to our loved ones who might not be with us anymore.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could maybe say something about this, Becky.
Yeah, I think so. I think like, well, I guess my mum's presence is felt throughout this collaboration just purely because that was the most recent big event that had happened prior to making that music.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny because after my mom passed away, I found my way. I don't know if this speaks to the question as much, but it's just what I'm thinking about. My grief process at that point was to explore through music. So I guess it's so intense, like if especially depending on your relationship with your parents. Obviously, it's different for everybody. Each parental relationship to a child is different. But like mine was like I'm the youngest child. And I never fully had, like, this sounds like I'm processing something that I'm not, but I never really had her total attention because, youngest of three. And but so when I did, I felt it so intensely. Like, whenever I did, I was like, whoa, like, I mean, I've got a sense of what the first child people will raise. I got a sense of what it must be like to be that, to be that person. And it was like a stop me in my tracks kind of love. Like it was very, very special. I think driven by that, I found my way to music quite soon after my mum's passing, and I did feel expressing that felt very natural and easy, like being a bridge to feel like I could connect with her through memorializing her through song. And I do it a lot in my own songwriting, and on my next album that I'm working on as well, there's a lot of feelings that are spurred from like trying to connect back to her, which is that love, maternal love. And I think like when my first son died, Percy, I did not feel that at all. I don't know if it's because I didn't have a history with him beyond the first few days of life and pregnancy, but I could not find my way back to music for a really long time. Actually, listening to music kind of broke me. I was like, this is so alienating. Nothing speaks to my experience. Like, everything is so, like, written by someone that I definitely know has not had that experience. Maybe they, you know, I couldn't find people that I could relate to in music. It took me a while. And then eventually I came back around and, you know, I could find my way through music again. And one of the songs on the album was written the March song. Yeah. I always stuttered when I said that because I'm kind of like weird about that song because I kind of made it and Mindy was like, you might never be able to perform this song. I wrote it during Percy's pregnancy, but then listening and anticipating him arriving.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah, obviously it's super tender, but I have found a way to kind of perform it again, which is so unexpected.
Mm,
and I did that in our recent shows.
So
and, yeah, like, I remember Mindy being like, we don't have to play that song. But, yes, it's, I guess time is crazy and, like, people suffer immense tragedies in their lives and some more than others and some might never really suffer through something so hard. And I think, I don't know, I just feel like it is the essence of life to suffer and to have adversity, and we've been so shielded from it in our like Western societies that we think it's unusual or we think that it's wrong to have these things happen, but they just happen, you know. And I mean, I'm not saying that like accept everything blindly, it's more so that like honor that is like a part of like it's not something to I guess fight against or feel a victim of. It's like these kinds of adversities, like, yeah, unfortunately, it's so asymmetrical in the way that suffering, yeah, is placed in our kind of society. But I do think that it taught me a lot about what some people must live through, and like, and even more understanding in terms of like, you asked a question before about, I don't think we quite answered it, but about our different experiences. So my mum was first generation migrant, and I'm learning more about what her experience might have been through Mindy's experience. And also, I'll just say this as well now, like the privilege of having a stance in a country or society, of having political stance, we talked about too, is such a privilege, because some people are just feeling very lucky just to be, you know, having a place in a society, so they don't want to do anything because of what they've come from to destabilize that possibility. So I think that's something I've really been thinking a lot about through our collaboration as well. And yeah, I just think that I've learned a lot. I think it's been a really valuable kind of thing to learn from people who have experienced different cultural contexts, but are kind of trying to make their way in the same cultural context. And I think if you're only collaborating or working with people from the same kind of lived experience, then you're really limiting your ability to grow and to have your mind challenged and opened and stuff.
Yeah, beautiful. And the person, I think there's another layer into the entire project. It's like, you know, okay, we would talk about understanding, we talk about like a lot and life, similar life event. But another very important thing is, you know, we really hope that our music could help people to process things and then provide a safe space for healing space. And because, you know, losing people that we love is happening every day around us.
Mm.
So, so I just hope that this music could bring comfort to those who need it.
And space for compassion as well.
Yeah, I think space, and also people hopefully can acknowledge like feelings that, it's just because something's difficult doesn't mean it's like it should be avoided or something like that, or it feels uncomfortable. Actually, like sitting with discomfort is a really important skill to develop. So, I think, what Mindy said about wanting to create, keeping our songs almost like the naivety and the kind of, the rawness in which they kind of evolved, and it's like us being vulnerable, so hopefully encouraging other people to be able to be vulnerable back.
And on that note of vulnerability, we might see if anyone has a question out there in the audience. Well, there's some roving mics, I think, around. So be vulnerable and ask your question.
Oh, just conversation so incredibly moving. Thanks for being so open and about your friendship and collaboration. Amazing, absolutely amazing. So have there been, I'm just going to go there, challenges or tensions in the collaboration as well? Because that's always interesting, like, you know, those little bits of sand, the gristle that kind of gets things moving.
I want to say the first.
Here it comes.
Okay, there was, I don't think we have a huge disagreement or anything like it. But we do, on certain things, we have different opinions. And we all have a very strong, I would say we have strong opinions, but we have a different interpretation sometimes to a thing. And we often would go into a very intense discussion. And
right before we're needing to perform.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good story. Like we were gonna play at Mona Forma, like we're taking a morning flight, and you know, we just sit in on an airplane, like probably started right after we said, like we start get into like a really deep conversation about political situation, about everything, war, and then the human, whether it's hope or not, and all this, like, and then we actually just the whole way until, like, we probably wrapped up when we landed.
I think the plane landing forced us.
I was
to
like, oh yeah, like we have to stop. And then we had a look at the lady sitting next to us. She was traumatized. She was like, what? It's early in the morning.
It was like 6 a.m. or something.
Yeah,
like
she
that.
Was like, her eyes like like that.
Not a beat, skipped straight into it. I think that's kind of referencing that those challenges.
We go really intense. Like, you know, it doesn't mean that we have to really agree absolutely on everything. But, you know, one thing very good is we do all believe in that people can have a different opinions and that they should be all valued. Like,
I think, I think it really comes down to like understanding why you have different opinions and what you've lived through. So I think
discussion.
But I think that's also speaks to respecting each other. Like, we know that going deep and having those discussions won't leave the friendship in any different state. Where I think, maybe some people,
some people couldn't take it. It's just like, you know, and
I think it's what you said. Yeah. It's compassion for each other. Like, no matter. Yeah. But I think like
trust.
What else? I don't know. What else? I'm trying to dig up stuff. What else? I think Mindy and I are both very strong-minded. But interestingly, I feel like I'm able to kind of break the shackles of my sibling, whatever that is, that like through this relationship. Like, I can kind of get rid of some learned like sibling issues that I've had to fight for my voice, you know, that kind of thing. I don't feel that in it. So this is like, this is good exercise of like, you know, working.
Equal, like, Well, it's actually really good. Like, I think trust is definitely number one. Like, a lot of conversation we had, if we show it to some other people, I think they'll really test their friendship.
100%. Yeah. I don't think that, but I think that we're both very, life's short, bullshit. Like, kind of just like.
And then the important thing, we all know who we are, who each other is, and then we just know that person is valuable to us, and then we're always willing to know more and why you think like that, rather than accuse why you think it was like, tell me why, you know, tell me why. Like,
I think so, and also I think actually that where we landed after that particular flight discussion was like we can be a bit yin yang sometimes, because Mindy was like.
You're so optimistic.
She thinks I'm optimistic and hopeful. I didn't know.
This is human being. Human being is like hopeless. Look at the last 2,000 years. Let me tell you what happened. It hasn't changed.
And I don't know. I don't know if I'm like that.
You probably have moments where you're one and the other.
Exactly.
And switch,
yeah, but like we're all, you know, we're all kind of like we're all later. Like we did find out why we think differently, which is. Need another 2 hours or another flight to Hobart.
Come back next week for part two. Yeah. We probably have time for one more question if there is one out there.
I was really struck by the way that you said that you had not felt like you had collaborated with an equal before you collaborated with each other. Mm. And I wanted you to unpack that a little bit and to talk about whether you felt that you've been limited by your perception of how being a female musician should behave, or what was the thing that made you feel that you weren't collaborating with equals before?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to unpack. I think it's largely to do with expectation and maybe lack of trust in some collaborations feeling very transactional, like someone just wants something from you. So regardless of what's said, there's an expectation, even if it's you're told it's not there, they still have an idea of what they hope to get from you. Mm-hmm. And I just did not feel that with Mindy at all. Like, I don't think people are intentionally going into collaborations with that mindset, but sometimes they just are. They have a perception that, as particularly as a musician, if you've already got a back catalogue, mm-hmm. then people have an idea of what you do. And they expect some of that on the thing that they're asking you to be a part of. So
they give you a role and you need to do the thing.
You need to do it. So I think what we really allowed each other we didn't have any preconceptions of what our music would sound like or where it would go.
Yeah.
We didn't even curate the kind of sounds that we had before we used them. It was just what was set up in my studio at the time.
Yeah.
And we recorded with that. And I think in that sense it felt equal, because I didn't feel like if one person took a lead in one track, it wouldn't mean that they were suddenly the lead project person. Yeah, it was then, like just going to shift and evolve for whatever it needed to be. And it feels very much fluid like that. Whereas I just think it's kind of difficult in collaborations, particularly playing with bands and stuff, for there not to be some kind of leadership role. I mean, it's hard to collaborate. It's hard. It's like designing by committee kind of thing. Like you do need a leader when it gets to a certain number of people. But with a duo, you've got this perfect kind of symmetry, so I feel like there's more possibility for equality in a creative kind of context.
Yeah, and also the music we make is not like people have done the similar stuff and then the audience has the expectations, like we can just do anything we want. And for example, like a person who doesn't sing has to sing, and you know, like all this, like
I guess that's what I mean about the equal thing. Like, I think if I don't use my voice sometimes when I'm invited, sometimes people are like, you're gonna hand me a mic and then you're gonna
versus singing.
or say I do something, but it doesn't, like this it was particularly with when I'm sitting in that dance music space. There's so many interactions I've had where people just want a certain kind of vocal, and they just, I'd be happier if they were like just treating me like a session person that would just ask me to sing exactly, just tell me what you want to sing, because I'm not going to find it. But I think, I think in band stuff, it's just, you know, it's hard to kind of find and sustain a cohesive band for a number of years when you are like the predominant songwriter or something like that. Band stuff just has its own kind of, you know, that's a whole nother kind of chat really, like about unpacking how to have a creatively satisfying and fulfilling for each member band. I think that also should be fluid, because inevitably some band members want to go and spread their own wings and have their own project, and when you notice a group is not flowing as it should, it's often because some person's dissatisfied because they're not getting what
they
want.
That's why a band breaks up.
and they should. But when you balance a project, a band project with a solo project, like I think it's all about balance. And as long as if you have something to say that you need to express, just making sure you have the right outlets for it, and not trying to channel it all into one project that may not be the right project for it, if that makes sense. I don't know.
We also haven't really had any plans like, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to get popular. We're like, you know, when we do this, we're just purely, I think, for our own drawing, like come together, play music, and so maybe we should do that. So it's less pressure of like, oh, it has to make a music that people are going to love it. Like, we're making a hit, and there's definitely no any thoughts on that. So it's kind of like playful.
And maybe that's also speaking to the equality. It's keeping that play thing alive.
Mm, yeah. Keeping it yin and yang as well.
Yeah.
please join me in thanking Becky and Mindy.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Eugenia Lim in conversation with Mindy Menwong and Sui Chen. It was recorded on Tuesday, the 26th of November 2024 at the Wheeler Centre. The collaborative album Origin of You is available now via Music in Exile. The Wheeler Centre podcast is produced on the lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. You can listen to more podcasts or explore videos, news, and our full calendar of events at wheelercentre.com.